You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning and welcome to Talk In. We certainly do hope you're going to get in touch. 01224 401035, that's the number to contact. We'd also divert your attention to the Facebook page. If you go onto Facebook and click onto North Sound, North Sound 2, you will find what we have got for you there. It is a postal scam. Now, this is a scam that is going about and it is based on the high-digit numbers, you know, the numbers you call and you have to pay a lot of money to. Go on to facebook.com. Tell me if you've been caught by the similar thing. Give me a call so we can warn other people. We'll come back to that later. The other thing we can look at today is the fact it looks as if there's a possibility for the sleeper service, the train sleeper service, from Aberdeen to London, it could be cut off in 2014. That's when ScotRail contract is renewed. And obviously, the Chancellor, George Orban, has pledged £50 million to continue to improve the overnight train, which has been used by travellers on both business and leisure trips between the North East and London for decades. However, there is going to have to be a matching sum of money, apparently, put together to keep this together. Now, in a situation where we seem to be losing our flight paths from Aberdeen to holiday destinations, there could be some doubt about the safety of the flight paths from Aberdeen down to London. Again, we seem to be jeopardising our train path as well. Now, is this going to cut us off from the other? Is this going to be one of those situations where we find that we're isolated up here in the northeast and we're not going to be able to attract people because, once again, the communication on rail and air is not good? We already know we have a problem with the communication on the roads, and the congestion in Aberdeen is, it's a nightmare. It really is. And the peripheral route, yes, the peripheral route. It's going to happen. I'm told it's going to happen, and I've always thought it would happen. It would be good if it could happen soon. Football, two items on the football side of things. The last match at Pittodrie, the Aberdeen fans would love it if it was a testimonial for Neil Simpson. Neil Simpson, of course, being a great servant to Aberdeen, and the fans are putting forward the fact that, you know, because he's been a great servant, he really does deserve to get a little bit of recognition. And that recognition could be celebrated in the fact that he is indeed one of the guys who is going to be remembered at the last match at Pittodrie. It's a nice idea. What do you think? 01224 401035. Give me a call and let me know what you're going to. You can also text. And there is a text number here, he said, looking for his bit of paper. Text me on 61025, prefix it with Cammy. You can tweet me at Cammy1035. If you're a tweeting person, I have no idea how that works, but the guys in here do, and they smile every time I sort of comment on it. But it does work, and it is there. 01224 401035, traditionally, or Cammy@northsound2.com. The other thing, you heard in the news, it's happened. We're bottom of the league. We're bottom of the league. I mean, what can I say? When Dave McDermott was coming home from the football last night, I am told that he was buckled in and he wasn't allowed to go anywhere near a bridge because Dave gets quite emotional about it, and so do we all. Another disappointing result for the Dons. They lost 2-0 at Kilmarnock and we finally slipped to bottom of the SPL. Is there anything we can do about this? Or, as the management team at Pittodrie are confident, will we come out of it? Is it going to happen? We don't know. Now, the other thing is, it seems to be that every Christmas there's a postal scam. And as I said, we have put it up on the Facebook page, North Sound 2 Facebook page, and it's there now. Go and have a look at that and tell me what you think. And more importantly, do you know anybody who's actually been caught in this scam? Now, it comes from Grampian Police, so it is a legitimate thing. It is a card which is posted through your door from a company called PDS, Parcel Delivery Service, suggesting that they're unable to deliver a parcel and that you need to contact them on one of the premium rate numbers. Now, this premium rate number is 0906. It's a 0906 number, which indicates it is a foreign number. It's 0906-66119111. And it looks as if it could be one of those call centre numbers. Well, it's not. This is an email, a mail scam rather, originating from Belize. If you call the number and start to hear a recorded message, you will already have been billed to the tune of 300 and £15. It's £315 if you hear that recorded message. So for goodness sake, do not do it. The other thing we're asking you to do is, if you have received a card with these details, don't just bung it in the bin. Can you get in touch with the Royal Mail Fraud? Because they obviously want to get a hold of this. Now, we've got a number. The Royal Mail Fraud is up on the Facebook page, the North Sound 2 Facebook page. All these items are available for you. The other thing, what was the big thing on Wednesday, we spoke about it last week briefly, was the strike situation. Now, quite a few people have had their say about the strike, including Jeremy Clarkson. Jeremy Clarkson, he made an off-the-cuff remark, which, well, led to probably more stuff on the go than the actual strike. Wednesday was the strike day. Everyone was up for it. By Thursday, Prime Minister was saying that it was a... It was a damp squib, and it really didn't do anything. Jeremy Clarkson had his say. A lot of other people in the press and in television have put forward what their thoughts were. And really, in a local level, the person who probably has put it succinctly on behalf of the people who were striking was local union leader Tommy Campbell.
Tommy Campbell from Unite the Union. Tommy, how do you feel about the turnout today?
Oh, it's a fantastic turnout. It doesn't surprise me. There's a huge amount of people now involved in recognising that there's a case to be met here. The pensions justice is what we're campaigning for. I think people now more and more begin to look at the situation, realise that they've been sold a pup by the government. Lie after lie after lie, hoping of course that if they tell the lie often enough that we will swallow it as the truth. But of course now people realise that the truth is out. The government want to steal from the pension fund in order to look after their friends in the banks and the large greedy billionaires. But enough's enough, and it's good to see the turnout here.
You said to me on Monday you're hoping for young and old. You've got that.
Oh, definitely. I think the historic centre of Aberdeen, the Castlegate, they should be proud to be part of making history here today, because it's in this very place, 60 years ago, that workers campaigned for workers' rights. They didn't have pensions then, but they would have thought about them as a good idea. Now we've got them. We need to defend our right to have them. Not only should we have a pension, but we should have a good, decent pension as well.
Now, the Chancellor today has branded this a waste of time. What would you say to that?
Well, I wouldn't expect anything else from him. Standing up and fighting for yourself, along with others, for yourselves and for your families and for your children's future, I think that's a very honourable thing for anybody to do.
And there you go, Tommy Campbell, local union leader, putting forward what he thought the strike did on Wednesday. But what do you think it did? Did it do anything? Did it just give an indication of how people are getting really cheesed off with the situation? Or is it just one of those things that's going to pass by and it'll just, life will mosey on? Many people have different opinions on it, but what is your opinion on it? 01224 401035. Give the Talking a call and voice your opinion. The Royal Mail fraud number, I believe, is up on the Facebook page now, and it is 02020 7239 6655. Okay, now that is really it's a poor indication, because it's shocking that people can get this sort of thing and they can just rip people off for £315. If it's happened to you, give me a call. I'd like to know. And remember, this is something that's come from Grampian Police, so it's not a scam of any description other than complete and utter fraud. The Grampian Police have put out the circulation, and hopefully we can maybe stop people losing that amount of money, because £315 just when you hear a recorded message is dreadful. Neil Simpson, should he be given a testimonial? Cammy@northsound2.com. Neil Simpson should be given the final match because he deserves it. He has been a great servant to Aberdeen as a player and as a coach, and most of his work has gone unnoticed. It would be a great tribute to the man just for him to be that last man to kick the ball at Pittodrie. Many people have decided to, put their voice their opinions to the club. The club have said that they are under discussion with it, and it may be something that happens. But what's your thoughts on the matter? 01224 401035. We'll go to a break, and hopefully we'll catch you in the phone lines.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Welcome to Talking. 01224 401035. That's the number, of course. Cammy@northsound2.com. Or you can tweet me on Cammy@1035. The text is 61025. Prefix that with Cammy. I had an email in. Cammy, The night train to London is essential. I use it on a regular basis. If I was to lose it, that would probably cut down my ability to communicate with my suppliers in London. And that would also mean that I might have to look elsewhere. It might also affect my business in a detrimental way. Well, there we go. As somebody who has responded to the fact that it looks as if it might have to be a huge injection of money put in to maintain the sleeper service from Aberdeen down to London. And if that was the case, the 50 million that has been pledged by George Osborne may have to be matched. It may have to be matched in order just to maintain the service. ScotRail's contract is renewed in 2014, and the thought is that if it's not a viable product, they may just want to drop it. Well, if that's the case, then that gentleman and a few other people have... Oh yeah, someone else is saying here, the night train to London is the only way to do it. You go in and you sleep through the night, you're ready for work the next morning. It's a great service. Why on earth would we even contemplate not having such a service? Someone else has commented the fact that along with the lack of flights and the possibility of losing the links into the south of England, that would be a terrible thing. Aberdeen would yet have its foot shot yet again. Never mind the football. It seems that we're good at scoring own goals everywhere. Oh, very good. 01224 401035, if you want to take part in that, or as again, if you're too shy. The other thing you can do is go on the Facebook page. We will be mentioning this postal scam as much as we can, because it is a serious thing, and £315 is the penalty that you pay as soon as you use the telephone number. The details are on there. You can find them out. And as I say, if you do know anyone who's been caught with a scam, well, then it's really a case of saying, well, you know, let us know so that we can tell people. And more importantly, let other people know. Comments about the football. Kame, it's been discussed time and time again. Well, not discussed, but certainly on the email. It's been discussed time and time again, Kame. We're just not hacking it. We seem to have periods of time when we play well and we are good. And then, as with Kilmarnock, a mindless mistake puts us right down at the bottom. We can't go any further now because we are at the bottom. But will we ever get climb out of that? Well, I'm sure we will. Always be positive about the football, in my line. I'm always very positive, but having said that, you're right, you can't go much further than the bottom. Some good news. Well, two pieces of good news. One of the nicest parts of the good news is Emily Sandy. Emily Sandy from Afford has had this year, well, what you would call a meteoric rise to fame. A young lady who went and studied in Glasgow, always had music at the back of her mind. She studied and had music in tandem. Then she made the decision to go to music. Then she got number one hits. Then she appeared on The X Factor. And even better, she is now supporting one of the biggest bands in the world. The 24-year-old is going to open for the band Coldplay on each date of their European tour. Now, by any stretch of the imagination, that is a huge accolade to the young lady. The guys from the North Sound News team spent a day with the chart topper earlier this year. And this is what happened when it was revealed on Twitter that Chris Martin was a massive fan. This is what she said.
I love their new song, Every Teardrop's a Waterfall, and it just feels amazing that they've actually heard it. And you know what I mean? I'm just such a massive fan, so amazing.
So she's chuffed a bit. So good news for Emily Sandy. She'll be touring with Coldplay and opening the show for them. Another little bit of good news concerns, well, this lot. You remember this? All day long we will be one. Yeah. The Wombles are back. Now, you may recall, the Wombles got together to play at Glastonbury. They put together the band. Mike Batt is composer and producer. He's behind the Wombles. And periodically, they get put together again. Glastonbury was the last time they performed on the stage at Glastonbury. And then they thought, well, that went okay. And it looks as if the Wombling Merry Christmas might be the number one Christmas song this year. On Facebook, There is a campaign to get them to number one, and they have taken something like 10,000 hits on YouTube already. People trying to get the Wombles straight to number one for Christmas. Now, last year, there was a campaign via Facebook and YouTube to get a song to number one, and that was against the X Factor Christmas song, and that worked. So could it be that the Wombles will be number one and we'll hear the Wombles all over again? To be quite honest, I'm not exactly sure if that's a good idea or a bad idea. Emily Sandy playing with Coldplay, I like that. But really, can we take this again? Can we take the Wombles at number one? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Now, phone lines are quite quiet. I'm quite surprised at that because there's plenty going on in Aberdeen. There was a strike on Wednesday where people were showing their discontent for the pension policies that the government were putting forward. They also had a situation whereby a lot of the pundits were putting forward the opinion that even if the public sector workers do go against the government, the fact of the matter is that this is an international malady. This is not a national thing. If you look at the different countries, you look at the European situation, you look at the American situation, you look at the British situation, there is different ways of running the country to each individual area of the world. However, the outcome is the same. There's lack of productivity, there's lack of business, there is, in some cases, poverty, and some cases, vast poverty. So the illness is the same. It doesn't matter how the illness is achieved, the malady has to be sorted. And some people are saying that really the unions have to sit down with the government and find a new way of sorting this solution out, because the solution will not just go away. If you have been affected by the pension scheme, you'll know only too well, it, even if you're in the public or the private sector, how annoying it is to find out that all of a sudden what you thought you were going to have for your retirement to look after you, it's no longer there. It's even more galling to find out that you might have to pay in more, and you might have to pay in more and work longer in order to achieve that. However, the bottom line is, unfortunately, if there is no money in the kitty, how's it going to happen? And if it doesn't happen, how do you sort it out? Because the outcome of the situation has to be some form of compensatory way to get people to be able to afford to retire. Because if people cannot afford to retire, we are going to have, I would suggest, a section of the public who are going to retire at whatever age they retire, and immediately they're going to be in a poverty situation because they can't afford, and that's going to put even more strain on. Pundits are saying it could be up to 14 years before households get back onto a level keel. Now, 14 years, that is a hell of a long time, and that means quite a lot of the people who thought they were going to retire in their 50s are going to be retiring round about that time. And if the pension scheme's not sorted out, and if the situation is not developed so that there is some form of method of people to achieve an income in the retirement, as they had hoped for, then we're going to have to fight the poverty situation on the elderly and retired people. So as opposed to silver surfers, it'd be silver poverty. And that can't be a fair situation to go on. On the email, we come back to that. The strike on Wednesday, put a shot across the bows of the government to show that the people are getting disgruntled about the situation. It may be there's no money there, but when it started off, there were so many promises made. Once again, it seems to be that we, as the public, are suffering because of the ineptness of people who have now got no responsibility and still manage to get big wage packets. Well, that might be the case, but the problem is it is happening. After the break, we'll talk about the trains, and we'll talk about, and a warning about Christmas shopping.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning, welcome to Talkin'. The phone lines are quiet, but Grant, the texts are going daft, aren't they?
Quite a few texts here, actually, can't they? Elaine in Bankery agrees with the strikers, but where is the extra money coming from? Quite worrying if you've got a pension, she says.
Yeah. There's a lot of people worried about this situation whereby the strike seems to be the people telling people that they're not happy. However, behind it is, where are the funds going to come from? There doesn't seem to be any answer to that at all.
Some more here. Sandy McPhee, I'm 56, due to retire in a few years' time. No way I can afford to, though. I'll be working till I'm 80 at this rate.
I think a lot of people will be working till they're 80. Yes, Andy, I sympathise with that. However, if you're working until you're 80, that also brings in the fitness factor. physically fit to work, depending. And let's face it, the older you get, you can only do a certain type of job. You can't, you know, do as much manual. You just physically, you're not able to keep up with the youngsters. So that's going to give a problem to people. They might not be able to continue to their working. So that could be even worse.
There's not many techs agreeing with that, actually. Marion Ledge, ridiculous that in 2011 people are still allowed to strike. Yeah, my kids didn't get a day at school on Wednesday, even though I'm paying my council tax for this. And Paul Duncan in Dice agrees with Jeremy Clarkson. That might be quite controversial, though.
Well, Jeremy Clarkson certainly got himself in the hot water when he said that the striker should be shot. But I think in the context, it was... Jeremy Clarkson's very good at saying things at the right time in order to get the right reaction, and I think that was one of those cases. And I don't really think he was being serious. It was one of the whimsical throwaway statements. The other side is that some of the people are saying that it's ridiculous that people are still striking. I can't remember. I think it was an American president thought. He put forward the opinion that people in the public sector shouldn't be striking because they work for the people. Therefore, if you work for the people, you shouldn't be allowed to strike. Now, I'm quite sure that that wouldn't be seen as a politically correct situation in this day and age. But the other side of the coin as well is there are a lot of people who work in the public sector who think that striking isn't what they should do because of the commitment they give to the public sector. However, if they have got a grievance, as Tommy Campbell pointed out, if there is a grievance, they've got to do something about it. And if they don't do anything about it, then it'll just dwindle on. However, it comes back to that situation. Where is the money going to come from? You got anything else in the text?
Not really relating to the strikes, though. Stephen Bryce is not happy with the lack of train services at the weekends. Anyway, never mind the sleeper service. That's back to the train services.
That's back to, but again, that's back to finances. You need an awful lot more money in the thing in order to get the whole system to work effectively. And I mean, once again, 50 million has been pledged by the government, but they still need some more. And another 50 million, it's a lot of money. Again, where's that going to come from? And how is it going to, you know, how is it going to be achieved in the economic climate today? However, 2014 is the time when that contract comes up for renewal. But again, 2014 is not that far away. Now, if you want to get in touch, and quite a lot of you seem to be listening but not participating, but that's fine. 01224 401035, cami@northsound2.com if you're too shy to go on the radio, or you can talk to John and leave a message with him. You can tweet us on cami1035, or you can text 61025 and prefix it with cami. On the email I have, cami, the striking is a complete and utter waste of time. All it did was disgruntle everyone that was on the go. The kids were disrupted, childcare was a disaster, people had to take time off. Personally speaking, I think they really need to get sorted out. Well, that's a lady called Julie's opinion, and Julie obviously concerned about the repercussions of the strikes and the things closing and what happens to her kids, and the fact that other people are losing work as well. The strike, it happened on Wednesday. Is it going to have a say? I really don't know. 01224 401035 if you have a say in the matter. The other thing that you can do is, we can look at this Neil Simpson thing. Quite a few people have been popping in the email saying, I think it's a no-brainer, Carmi. Neil Simpson deserves all the recognition he can get. He really deserves to get a testimonial. It would be a nice touch. I'm not quite sure that it's a good idea leaving the heart of Aberdeen for a new stadium. However, if it's going to happen, Neil Simpson, it would be a great curtain to draw on the Pittodrie, which really has been a great servant to Aberdeen over the years. Oh, notwithstanding this last couple of seasons. Okay, fair comment there. However, if you would like to have a comment on anything else, the Union Terrace Gardens is still trundling on. There's two choices for that. If we look at the two stories there, people have been putting in during the week, they were putting in their things, and it would seem to be people's choices are going more for the winter garden type appeal. Although somebody did qualify it by the point I made, winter garden is a name that's been used in Aberdeen for many years, the winter gardens down at Duthie Park, and I think that's the one that's going to tip the scale because people are more familiar with it, says Andrew. Grant, you got anything?
Yeah, some more text here. Talking about Pittodrie, actually, Jack Beattie's been in touch. There'll never be another Pittodrie. Don't take Aberdeen out of the city.
Well,
that's what he's saying there.
A lot of people, I know, on occasions I frequent the Pittodrie bar, And that's the heart of Aberdeen's football supporters in many, many cases. You either have one going to the match or one going from the match. They're a very active supporters club in there. And the feeling is, if you take Pittodrie away from that area, I mean, how do people get to the thing? There's a lot of strong feeling in that. However, I think we have to accept the fact that it's going to happen. The building is going to start. And the fact that we can't get another Pittodrie in the city means that in order to get a Pittodrie that's fit for purpose, you've just got to go away. Michael Christie says he's been an Aberdeen supporter for 40 years and he's fed up of the same excuses being used for their losses. Craig Brown must know who keeps making these mistakes, so he should sideline them until they stop or get rid of them full time. Well, that's a fact, Michael. Raymond Clunes, how are you, my friend?
Not very tall, come here, sir.
I knew you wouldn't let me down. What have you got today?
Well, what it is I was reading a thing in the paper the other day, and it's about the new Don, third plan Don crossing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they've got two things set up for that.
Yeah.
And yet, the game to telephone here, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they've asked everybody here, well, I have been to actually personally myself, two meetings.
Yeah.
And filled in, I can't remember how many forms.
Yeah.
To say what we think about it.
Yes, yes.
And about 95% of people in telephone and Hayden have filled in essentially and it said no.
Uh-huh.
And they have had all these meetings about this for, and they look as if they're really rushing this.
Yeah, so basically you think that they're rushing it through just in order to get it done?
No, they come and ask you. It's like all politicians.
Uh-huh.
They will ask your opinion. You give them your opinion. The majority opinion is not what they are thinking of doing. Then they just go and do it anyway.
So
they're wasting public money and such like just to make it look like they're actually listening to what you're saying, but they don't.
So really, you think it's just an exercise to placate the locals, yeah?
Well, what I think it is, actually, and I know I'm on the air, so I won't say it,
uh-huh,
but I'll say the first word, a load of bull. That's it.
So,
because they don't listen to what you're telling them.
So do you think it's going to go over the Teledrone way regardless?
Oh, of course it will. And I'll tell you something. The new crossing is never, ever going to ease the gridlock they've got coming in that way. And they've actually got to steal people's gardens.
Yeah. The thing is, the argument they're putting forward for the whole thing is that there's only certain places that they can actually, you know, get across the river. You know?
Well, build a bridge off the beach. They come in onto the beach, boulevard. Build a bridge round that.
Yeah.
And you could take everybody right round that way and you could get back into the city. You don't have to rip up people's gardens and things.
Well, you know something? I'm more interested in the fact that you say that you don't think it's going to sort the congestion in the city centre, because that's a major problem. There's a couple of people text about the fact that, you know, the whole transport system, trains, planes and vehicles in Aberdeen, it's becoming a major disaster, you know?
Yeah, okay. One other thing I was going to speak about.
Yeah, go on.
You were talking about pensions, Tommy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, I had to retire for ill health.
Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've been getting in touch with my pension thing and they said they could get my money back.
Yes.
Because I might not be you got when retirement comes to get a pension anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, right, okay, I'll just take it out now.
Yes.
And I've been getting letters, got to go here, got to phone this, got to sign this, and it's just, it's totally unbelievable the things you've got to go through to get money that I've been in.
Yeah.
It's just gobbledygook.
Well, the thing is, the whole pension thing at the moment is so far up in the air that if people, like I think you've suggested, you decide to take your lump sum, your pension out earlier, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of hoops you've got to go through to do that. And I mean, in some cases, people are finding that even if they go through the situation of trying to take their money out, by the time they take the money out, and even although you are entitled to a lump sum tax-free, by the time you go through that, you still haven't got enough to do anything of substance. And, mm-hmm. and as you say, Raymond, you know, all your work in life, you know, the one thing you don't know about in life is what your health's going to do to you as you come on, and you're a case of that, right?
Yeah, you've got to.
And in good faith, you've paid in, and it's absolutely galling. And I mean, I completely agree with you. But the thing is, Raymond, I mean, the whole system is just jiggered. He says, choosing his words very carefully for radio. But I mean, it is. And I mean, I sympathise with the people who are striking and the people who are putting a face forward. You know, Tommy Campbell spoke very eloquently about the fact that he thinks that people are putting forward, and it's a situation they have to put forward their opinions, et cetera, et cetera. Many people, you know, are not coming on the phones, but I mean, there's stuff coming in the text all the time. Grant's got more stuff coming in the text. People are definitely hot under the collar about it, but the underwhelming thing is the fact that they don't know where the money's coming from. Now, I don't think it's a case of, you know, people, you know, are being silly about this, but the fact of the matter is, where is the money in order to achieve what people want? It's all very well saying a contract was made with the government. If we look at the public sector, it's all very well saying a contract was made with the government, and they're duty bound to pay it, you know? But I mean, if there's no money there, they can't do it. I mean, somebody actually texted and said, it's all very well, where is it? The guy, Gary, where's the guy, David? David's one. David said, it's been said in the past that contracts have to be adhered to. Take the case of the bankers who got their bonuses because it was in their contract. That was adhered to because it was a legal matter. Is it not the case that it's a legal matter that the pensions are legal binding documents with the bodies concerned? So that are they not duty bound to give the money? That's all very well, but if there's no money to give, where's it coming from?
Where's it went?
Well, where's it went, you know? I mean,
will we
ever know? Will we ever know, Raymond?
Yeah, well, I pay their money in good faith.
Yes.
I ask for it back.
And you're not getting it.
And possibly might get something back. But
certainly not.
I got me a form to fill in.
Yeah.
It must be costing them a fortune to send me that. All this letters that I've got to send back to them, so that why don't they just take my word for it? I phoned them, I've got the policy numbers, I send everything away,
yeah.
Tell them, and they send me another letter saying, I need such and such, I need this. Why don't they just, and they need my bank account number,
yeah.
So they can pay me. Why don't they just go, okay, thank you. Here's a check. And send me the check.
The thing is, Raymond,
that'd be simple.
That there must be an awful, and I don't particularly want to go into your case, although I know a bit more about your particular case, but that's not the point. The principle behind it is there must be people like yourself who in health have paid in and are now finding that their health is going against them, and they have to make arrangements and they have to make preparations. And it's not happening. And it's like I say, already the retirement age is being brought forward a decade. It's going to be done in the, is it this decade or the next decade? next decade, right? Already that's been brought forward. A couple of guys in the text, and Grant, you're indicating there's more there, aren't you?
There's quite a few, actually. Susan and Dice has got sympathy for the strikers, but what about the people who have to deal with childcare? Another one there. Jenny Moreau, Cammy, what are people striking for when in such dire straits? It's not helping the situation. And final one for now, Jean Nicol, I think that is. I went on strike on Wednesday. Surely it's my right to fight for what I've worked for over the last 32 years. Texts are coming in there.
There you go, you see, Raymond. That's people. There's definitely disgruntlement with it, but the fact of the matter is nobody can tell me what's going to happen, how it's going to be achieved, how is this going to be repaired? Nobody can tell me that. And I was watching a programme and they said that the only way to get this going is by doing it, you know, through business, you know, through getting people to work, because it's the only economic way of getting growth. You have to get growth, you know. But
that's a loss.
Yes, but how's that going to happen?
Through getting people to work.
How's that going to happen?
Yeah, because I'm sucking for reason.
Well, the thing is, there's more and more in the public sector. It was ironic just before the strike.
Getting people out of business and everything.
It left. I know it's hard times. It's hard times, you know, and it amazes me that already we're in a situation where everything's being qualified by what happens in the Eurozone. You know, so I mean, that's totally out with our. It's out with our. Facility and ability to influence what happens in the Eurozone. Yet we're suffering.
Come here, I will not go into the Euro.
Say again?
I will not get into a conversation with the Euro.
No, I have been in a conversation with you about the Euro before. Yes, I understand.
Maybe we'll get taken off here.
Yes, but the thing, but again, does it not? But Raymond, you know, notwithstanding the points that we're making, the discussion we're having, and the people are coming in text. I mean. It's ironic that this is by far the strongest text. This is by far the strongest text situation we've ever had in the show since I've done it. And I mean, they're all saying similar things. And it shows that people are just putting forward a comment because I would suggest they don't have an ability to discuss it because they don't know. It's not that they can't discuss it, but we just don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And it's so dependent on things that we can't control.
I can have a discussion with you on the phone.
Yeah.
Right? I could have a mail discussion. I haven't got a computer or anything, so yeah. I can't deal with that. But the point is, you can get face-to-face with people and discuss things. But we can discuss things here. And you could decide, then it goes to Europe.
Yeah.
And they're going, bugger off.
Yeah, they are. And the thing is, they will continue to that because, in their opinion, they are looking to look after their own country and their own things. Raymond, listen, I appreciate the time you've taken. But we'll see how it goes. But thanks for phoning. I don't feel so lonely now, mate. I'll tell you. We'll go to a break.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
I'll tell you what we'll have to do. We'll have to change it because the text thing is much more popular this week, isn't it? It's much more popular.
It's the North Sound 2 texting.
Yes, that's it. It's the North Sound 2 texting. Hey, hello, Sarah. How are you?
Morning, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling lonely.
Oh, I know.
Nobody's speaking to me.
Everyone in Aberdeen. They're all the way to that procession that's going down.
Well, if that's where they are, at least we know. I thought it was me.
No, it's not you. How could we forget about you, Connie?
The funny thing is, though, Sarah, just an aside, it's always been the phone lines, you know, and since I started doing this, we've been using the tweet and the text. And it's funny because the text thing has just suddenly come alive this week. It's amazing. Anyways.
Well, that just goes to show people are listening to you.
Well, I do hope so. Because
yes,
you know me, an ego my size, I need people to listen. It's awful. It's conducive to working in the radio if people listen. You know? Anyway, Sarah, come on. Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson.
Come on, girl, let's hear you.
Well, I think I'm in a minority of people, but I actually laughed at what he said.
Well, you see...
I'm a public sector worker.
Yeah.
But I... I, you know, I take it as a pinch of salt. what he actually said. I thought that it's so, so funny. There's lots of people that I would love to take out and shoot, you know. I mean, but you wouldn't actually do it, but it's just...
But it's the thing is, though, I mean, it's the context that he said it, and everybody knows that Clarkson says things. And you know...
but in saying that, look, is it Boris Johnson? Is that his name? Him,
yes.
The mayor down in London.
Yes.
Look at the amount of gaffes he said.
Aye.
And look where he is. I mean, look at, or should I say it, royalty?
Yes.
Look what they've said.
Well,
have they got the sack?
Well, the thing is, people say things for different reasons. Now, I'm quite sure that Clarkson did not say that with the intention of getting all the
no.
response he got.
No.
Having said that, I was speaking to McCrove yesterday on the show, and he
played Patrice.
Yeah, he played it was a nightmare. Patrice and Ali Dawson the same show, nightmare. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he played me the whole clip. Because obviously, you know, he played the whole clip. And in the context, it was just part of the statement sort of style.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can see that Clarkson's sense of humour is a bit out the ball anyway, because he said in another article I read, he says, I suppose I should really apologise to the Sparrows as well because I give them a hard time, you know. And, you know, it's a whimsical thing. And he's probably promoting something and he's probably done him a power of good. But, I mean, people do say things, don't they?
Oh, you do. I'm forever opening my mouth and then I think,
welcome
oh
to my world.
God,
well, but the thing is, so tell me now, did you take offence at what he said? Because you are in the public sector, aren't you?
Yeah.
And did you strike?
I'm not willing to say.
Okay, that's fair comment. Hey, listen, you don't have to. but did you take offence to what he said?
No, not at all.
Well, you see, is it not a case of maybe just having a pop for the sake of having a pop?
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of these stars, film stars, even in America and things, they just like to say things just to shock.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get more publicity.
Well,
And also look at this reality television as well. I mean, what did we just go through? The Jungle.
Yeah.
And the things that said on The Jungle, you know, it's all for a public viewing and making the figures and things like that.
Well, I think so. And I mean, Jeremy Clarkson is well known as a writer. If you read his columns, he's outspoken in them and he has a certain slant in life. He's obviously, he's not that daft because he's got one of the most popular drive shows ever,
yeah.
You know, the three of them, what's the drive show he does?
Top Gear.
Top Gear, that's the one, you see? I know the shows, but I don't know the words. The Top Gear show, that is a very, very popular show, and they do a lot of stuff with that. But even when they went away, was it they were away in America, and they were doing something down Route 66.
That's right.
And they opened their mouth in a diner, and they got chased out of the place. And guess whose mouth it was that got them chased out of the place?
Who?
Clarkson's. There we go, you know. So
yeah.
I mean, he just does it because he does it. And you'll probably find that there's a book coming out or a DVD or there's a something that for publicity or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, Boris Johnson, I think he doesn't do it for the same reasons that Clarkson does it, but he does it for his own ends as well, I would suggest, as do many people,
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But there we go. Anyway, Sarah, thanks very much for that.
No problem.
As long as he didn't offend you and me, it seems it's good. Now, will I tell you a wee fact about the show?
Yeah, go on.
We had two callers. How many texts did we have, Grant, quick? Go on.
Just over 20.
See? Two callers, 20 texts. If
Ooh.
We get 20, if we go 10 and 10 next week, we'll be happy, won't we?
Take care.
Ta-da. There you go, that's a talk-in. Well, it wasn't a talk-in, it was a text-in. But there again, that's the way it is. Next week we'll be back, we'll try it all over again. Cammy at northsound2.com or 1224401035. Tweet me in Cammy 1035. Or as you well know, that text number, which has been red hot, text 61025. Prefix it with Cammy. I'm gone. Goodbye.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.